Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now it's over 44 years since the death of the independent nationalist councillor Patsy Kelly. He was abducted and murdered near the village of Trillick in County Tyrone in July 1974. After an extensive search, his body was found over 3 weeks later in a lake 15 miles away. In spite of five separate police investigations, no one's ever been charged in connection with the killing. Over the next few days, our reporter Barry Lenehan will examine the failed investigations, the allegations of security force involvement in Patsy Kelly's murder, and the new evidence which could help unlock this case 44 years on. But first, Barry Lenehan is here. You've been to Trillick. This is the village once represented by Patsy Kelly.
And a village on a knife edge in the summer of 1974. This, one of the worst years of the Troubles. And in rural Tyrone, the conflict, different to the big cities, neighbours by day became enemies by night. Local unionist farmers joined the Ulster Defence Regiment and by evening consistently harassed and often threatened their nationalist neighbours. This at a time of high activity by the IRA. Born and raised in Trillick, Patsy Kelly joined the civil rights movement to try and change the injustices around him. He was elected an independent councillor. He'd no involvement whatsoever in violent behaviour. Now, 33-year-old Patsy also ran Packy's Bar in the centre of Trillick, where I met his brother-in-laws, John and Patsy, and his friend, Brendan Donnelly. They were with Patsy in the bar minutes before he disappeared, but first they told me more of Trillick at the time.
All we were at that time was playing football and taking an odd pint. Women maybe an odd night. Plenty of stop and be UDR and Army and all, you know. But
if you were a GA man now, you didn't get away too handy. I think you got hassled. We got hassled more times going to matches and coming from matches.
We were young at the time, and suppose we were involved in football, and that's what our life revolved around.
That's right, huh?
And the other thing about it was that was normal life for us. We knew nothing different except trouble and torture.
The shooting of local UDR soldier Robert Jemison by the IRA that year created a febrile atmosphere in the village. Soldiers fired shots into Packy's Bar and Patsy Kelly was standing out.
Was there a meeting in the town here? Bernard Delvin was here one night. A civil rights meeting at the time, Barry. And Patsy actually spoke or introduced her to the crowd. There was a big crowd of people there. I would say that's the first time I saw Patsy in a profile role in the town. And I suppose Patsy then had his head above the parapet, regarded as a high profile man and a target. Inevitably, Barry, they were going to take retaliation for Jemison out the road. There was no question about that. It was a tit for tat situation, always was.
He had a great personality and he was a great dancer. Love fun, just love fun.
Patsy was also a dedicated family man, raising four very young children with his wife, Teresa.
And then we had our first holiday. We got a new car. We went away for the weekend, actually to Strandhill in Sligo. And we had the children with us, and it was a fantastic weekend. And we said, every year from now on, we're going to have a holiday. That never materialised. There was no more holidays after that. That was on, we came back on this Sunday, I think it was. And then he was killed then.
Car was sitting parked there.
Just right in front
of him. Just right at the door there. I stood chatting Patsy, God rest him, on the street just at the door there for a couple of minutes. And that was the last words, I would say, probably the last person to talk to him from a normal society.
So that night, Barry, Patsy Kelly set off from Packy's Bar on the short 5-minute drive to his house just outside Trillick. He never made it home.
Yeah, Patsy always took the night's takings home with him along the small, narrow country roads and so insisted he'd only ever stop for someone in a uniform. Teresa Kelly waited all night for her husband to return and so the next morning raised the alarm. It was then buttons, blood and hair were found in the isolated Bodoni Road, not far from Patsy's home. Shots were also heard around the time he disappeared. His son, Patsy Jr., picks up the story.
We're standing here at Bodoni Road, which is about another mile and a half to the family home where my father would have been travelling that night.
Witnesses recall seeing a UDR checkpoint here on the night in question. That would be unusual given the road was and is so isolated.
Well, this road really doesn't lead anywhere, you know, and would have been even more isolated in 1974. Normal practice for a UDR checkpoint at the time would have been well, it has to be a road that's going somewhere, or, you know, so it would most likely have been at a junction or an intersection of some sort. Both Uncle Patsy and my father were stopped at this road 2 weeks previous. This wasn't a murder that just happened off the cuff. This required a lot of planning in terms of the actual route home. They had to know that he was going to come this way.
Theresa Kelly still waited for her husband until her mother told her of the discovery at Bodoni Road.
Mummy, she said to me, Theresa, you go to your bed because you're going to have a long day tomorrow. And I said, I am not going to bed, Mummy, till Patsy comes home. And she says, no, you need to go to bed. And I said, I am not going to bed till Patsy comes through that door, and that's it. And she says, well, Theresa, don't you think for 1 minute that Patsy's coming home, because she says, I'm going to tell you now. She says, there was hair, blood and buttons found on the road. So she said, Patsy won't be coming home. It was the most horrible thing. I might as well tell you the truth. What I wanted to do was, there was a river down below, and I just felt like going to the river. That's what I said. I just wanted to go to the river. That was my feelings. It was horrible.
Police launched a murder investigation. A large-scale search for Patsy got underway, coordinated at the local GAA club. The entire community involved, as well as hundreds from Derry, Belfast and across Fermanagh and Tyrone.
It was a sad time, but there was, you know, everybody pulled together.
You were organised to go here and go there and go everywhere. And you had the way out in lorries and vans and starts the whole day.
Patsy's brother-in-laws and Brendan Donnelly again.
Miles and miles we walked.
But you were clinging to straws all the time. You couldn't get them.
You were hoping you'd find the remains, Barry. And at the same time, hoping that you wouldn't find them. There was a certain trepidation and fear in you all the time that you would find the remains, and then you didn't really want to find them.
And in the local hall, there was a kitchen and big pots of soup would have been made, sandwiches were made.
Colette Harrison also helped.
One time in the hall, there would have been about six women on six chairs with basins and six others drying to keep the dishes going.
No dishwashers then?
Oh, no. It was only one sink also. It was a very shocked community.
As the search entered a third week, Theresa Kelly prayed for her husband's killers and discovered she was pregnant with Patsy's fifth child.
No, I didn't feel any bitterness, and I did forgive them, but forgiving them didn't make them come back to me then, you know. Mm.
Some people would find that extraordinary that you'd pray for them.
Well, unfortunately, my prayers weren't heard, but Barry.
Four young children at the time.
Yeah.
And during that 3 weeks, you found out?
Found out I was pregnant, yeah. Mm-hmm. Found out I was pregnant. Oh, I had a tough time then, for it used to be such, it was horrible. But then I was delighted to know that there was another party Patsy coming, so.
And for 3 weeks, Barry, they searched for Patsy Kelly. What happened then?
Yeah, early in the investigation, police told Theresa Kelly that if they found her husband's car, they'd have enough evidence for a conviction. When the car was discovered, police promised Theresa, when we get your husband's body, we'll have the killers. After 3 weeks, Patsy Kelly's body was found in Loch Ice near Lisbellaw, 15 miles away from where he was abducted. His killers had weighed his body down with 2 56-pound weights and a nylon rope to try and disappear Patsy to the bottom of the lake.
In terms of the 15-mile distance as well.
Patsy Kelly Jr. is at Loch Eyes.
The general rule of thumb at that time was that if you were travelling distances in rural Tyrone or anywhere really in the north at that time, every 5 to 6 miles you probably would have encountered a checkpoint of some sort from the UDR. So statistically really, we should have encountered at this stage at least 2, if not 3 checkpoints by the time we'd got to this location to dispose of the body at this location. An extreme level of planning and prior knowledge from other security force patrols in the area to ensure that safe passage was afforded to the killers.
Patsy's body was found with the night's takings from the pub in his pocket. His brother-in-law Philip had been told by police not to search Loch Eyes just days previously.
No, the next thing the policeman said, no, don't bother, says we have to go back to the hall. That was telecall.
He said there was nothing to see there. The Loch Eyes had already been dredged.
That's right. Back away and go back to the hall again and telecall.
Well, if they said they dragged the lake, they'd have got it, yeah. They would have found Patsy's remains.
It was a relief to know that at least his body had turned up, but then to realise that somebody would go to such extreme to tie weights to his body and put him in the bottom of the lake to not never be found.
Police told Theresa Kelly how her husband may have run off with another woman.
That was something that police had said to my mother at the time. That was the line they were using. The body was never meant to be found. There were four shots to the trunk of the body. There were also markings on the body in terms of the forehand was similar to a burn. There was also lacerations to the scalp, and there were strong signs of strangulation.
Yeah.
Lots of very specific injuries.
Patsy, you've never been here before until today.
Yeah, first time here. And on purpose, really. I have avoided coming here, really, for obvious reasons. It's always been even the name Loch Eyes has always been something that creates a feeling of, I suppose, pain in the pit of your stomach. Strange to be here today on what's a serene autumn day. The water is very calm. There's the sun shining on the green hills that's enclosing the loch here. Very peaceful scene, and yet juxtapositioned against what would have happened here in terms of the brutality of the killing. It's difficult to Still difficult to be here, yeah. But murderers in the dark had made the sleeping lake their accomplice. The innocent lake had been forced to share the guilt. The lake out there and fading into another dusk, the lake knew it could never be the same again.
Patsy Kelly Jr. with the words of Irish writer Benedict Kiley, ending Barry Lenehan's report. And tomorrow, Barry will be looking at the investigations into Patsy Kelly's killings. More after this, including business news.